Counselor Accents Podcast. Two school counselors who love their jobs. Oh, and they happen to have Southern accents too. Bless their hearts.
I'm Kim Crumbly.
I'm Laura Rankhorn.
And together we are Counselor Accents. And Laura, the man with the velvet voice.
The velvet voice is with us.
I think today. That was Mel Torme.
Mel Torme, Velvet Fog.
Oh, yeah. That was a real thing.
You know, Matt, I am not going to call you the Velvet Fog. He already has that, okay? but you have aged yourself by knowing that.
You're right. Yeah. Well, I'll get into this, but I had some interesting kind of a serpentine career background, and I was right out of college, I was a DJ at a big band radio station. For 3 years. Can you believe that? So I know Doris Day and Rosemary Clooney and
Stop,
all the hits
Matt.
Of Les Brown.
Yeah. Stop. That you're talking my language. Like you put a little Glenn Miller on.
Yeah.
I mean, I love vintage music, vintage movies. I love all of that stuff. So, yeah.
Well, I'll just be excusing myself now and I'll let y'all.
That's why I say it's getting to be fewer and fewer people who know about it. So it's sort of like, I have just a few people to talk to about it.
I'm telling you, and this is not big band, but this season, if I put on Louis Armstrong, I'm gone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just hearing Louis Armstrong during Christmas is like, that's just Christmas to me.
It takes you away. Yeah.
It does. It does. So I love vintage. I call it vintage music.
It
but
is.
I can see that you
Classic.
Were a DJ.
Yeah.
That voice is amazing.
Well, it's funny because I graduated in forestry, urban forestry, to be even more obscure as my bachelor's, and I couldn't find a job, which is, of course, natural in the state of Indiana. There are very few trees. So I worked at a restaurant, and I needed a part-time job, and somebody said, you have a good voice. And that was the first time I ever heard anybody say, you have a good voice for radio. And I said, really? So I worked at this little teeny radio station, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
I believe your husband told us the opposite, that we sounded horrible.
So. You don't.
Like people will say, literally, I don't know, it's just either you like this accent or you,
I love it. But I told you earlier, I was in Alabama for 14 weeks last year, and I really had to work hard at not adopting the accent, because I think it would have sounded like I was making fun, and I didn't want to, but I had to really work to not sound Southern.
We do the same thing, like I'll be talking like you before this moment. I mean, I just, whoever I'm with, and Laura has to stop.
It's embarrassing.
Stop. You've never lived in London. Please stop.
That is funny.
Well, the man behind the velvet voice that we're talking to today is Matt Fleck. And he has a website that I want everyone to stop and go to. It's
Stop, drop, and roll on over.
To inspire success. And when we get finished talking today, you are going to wonder why you haven't checked this website out before. But Matt, you are a school counselor extraordinaire in your own right. You were a former high school counselor. You also served as Indiana's school counseling specialist at the Indiana Department of Education. So Kim, please, please stay professional.
No. Please don't embarrass me, Laura.
Yeah.
Well, Matt reminds me of you, Laura, in that there is nothing we can talk about that he hasn't have a job in that.
Right.
Laura, literally, I can talk about anything, and she has worked in that field.
Really? So, what? Like what, Laura? What past
experience? She exaggerates quite a bit. One day she was talking about banking, and I used to work at a bank. I have a business degree.
Uh-huh.
That was my undergraduate degree. And so I kind of went around the world, kind of like you did.
Yeah.
I worked for a yearbook company and traveled peddling yearbooks for a while and worked at a jewelry store. And that's about it, Kim. So please stop.
You were a secretary. She's done everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good experience for being a school counselor where you have to do everything anyway.
Exactly. Yep. So, Matt,
this
We got to know you because you actually contacted us, and I thought that it was an ad whenever I first heard it because you left a voice message. And I thought this.
Please do the voice and do the message like Matt.
I don't know what I said. I think I just said I've been listening to your podcast, and I would just had an interest in recording you for our encouraging words for school counselors. And would you please give me an email or a call back?
See,
does that sound like an ad?
Your voice.
It's so professional and so perfect. Funny. We get a lot of spam, like people checking stuff out. And so when I got your message, I was like, well, this can't be a real person because this sounds too perfect. But you were interested in talking to us for us to share a story with you because you also have a podcast. So why don't we start there? Tell us a little bit about what you do with your podcast and how it affects school counselors.
Great. Well, it's called Encouraging Words for School Counselors. And we're a nonprofit too. And our board had said, we need to do something for teachers and counselors this fall. Do you want to have some professional development? Do you want to do some webinars? Do you want to do some workshops? And we thought about it, but I'll tell you, I don't know about you two or others who are listening, but there were so many resources last spring and fall for counselors. It was almost overwhelming. Everybody was giving away webinars and training and professional development and resources for social emotional health. And we said, you know, that's nice, but maybe it's already been done. So let's just do little stories from counselors encouraging other counselors. So our podcast really is 5 to 6 minutes long tops. Laura, yours is coming up. So we got yours, and Kim, we've got you slated for January. So it just ends up being a nice little, usually either a touching story or a humorous story about something that happened. Sometimes it's both. And so we get the story, we wrap it up, and then we go on. But we keep thinking of it. It's a good way for counselors to listen either as they're going into work some mornings or coming home from work. When you need to kind of either de-stress after you get done with a long school day or sort of gear up yourself, you know, like gird up before you go into the school building. So that's what we intended for. And we've gotten some great responses, including the stories from the both of you.
What a great idea and what a great ministry to help encourage other school counselors and educators. Because we, especially school counselors, we take it in. All the stress and pressures from everybody, teachers, administrators, and students and their parents, everybody comes to us. And so I think it was needed even before this, but especially now.
It's a good choice of words because isn't counseling in general kind of like a mission in a way? It's sort of, you don't go in it to make a lot of money. You go in it serving people and you really have to keep your spirits up or you're not going to do very well.
You were saying that it's like a mission, and you're so right that we've got this, you know, we look at the needs of other people and try to figure out how to fill those needs, and it is an important job.
Because it can wear you down fast.
How did you move from, first of all, what made you decide to go into school counseling? Because it sounds like you were in some very important, I mean, forestry, I'm always encouraging kids into that career, you know, careers, these great careers. So how did you decide to land on school counseling?
School counseling. It took a while. It took about 10 years. I did a lot of odd jobs. I was a county extension agent, that radio station with big band music, all obscure. And one day they hired me at a TV station of all things to do the radio, the farm report. And, you know, this is odd, but I was the closest thing to farming, I guess, as a forestry graduate. So I was doing the farm report. Then they wanted me on TV to do the farm report on TV. And then that became a weatherman. So I had to do the morning and day weather on TV. And I did this for about 10 years. Yeah. And here I had no experience, but I'm standing in front of the screen, you know, pointing out the high pressures moving in and the low pressures and trying to pretend like I knew what was going on. And,
That is amazing.
Yeah. Isn't that strange? So anyway, after about 10 years, I said, gosh, you know, I'm 30 years old. I think I better decide what I'm going to do for life. And I thought and thought. And when I chose school counseling because I wanted to help kids, but I want to help all kids. I didn't want to just have a mental health facility or a counseling office where, you know, usually it's the wealthier families who can afford to send their kids. And I thought it was important to reach every kid at every level, whether they're successful or we deem them successful or not. And I stepped in, I don't know about you two, but I stepped in really not knowing what school counseling was that much, and learned a lot, of course, along the way.
Yeah. I think that's a story that is repeated over and over again that we hear from a lot of graduates, is that even now, after all this time, it's really not school counselors necessarily, and this is not a blanket statement, who are teaching these courses, but it's, you know, other folks, and they come out and they really still don't know, rubber meets the road,
right?
How to walk in and be a school counselor. So you really, it's on the job training, and often you're by yourself and you're figuring this out. But that is such a great reason to go in to, I love the way you said that.
But I don't know about you, sometimes you have to remind yourself of that as you're driving home or in the middle of a crisis or two. Like, oh, what am I, why am I doing this? Oh yeah. Okay. I remember that.
Yes. And that's where your podcast comes in really helpful, because that's a great reminder for, you know, the bad days. This is why we do what we do.
Yeah. So I know you're supposed to ask me questions, but what made you two decide to do the podcast?
Oh, we'll go right ahead.
Well, you're the one that came up with the idea. Would you like to talk about your inspiration behind it?
Well, I love, I don't do a lot of podcasts, but Laura knows this. There's a couple of things that I love. One of those is I love the Andy Griffith Show. Again, I love all things vintage. So there's a podcast that me and my little boy watch called Two Chairs, No Waiting. And then that's on Monday night. And Tuesday night, we watch Weather Brains, because I'm a weather crazy fanatic.
Really?
And yes. So I love, 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 love weather. So I watch those two podcasts, and that's the only ones I watch. And I told Laura, I said, we can do this. And Laura, in typical Laura fashion, you know, I thought, you know, think about that, pray about that, meditate, think about where we want to go. She just plops down and says, okay, let's get started.
Let's do it. Yeah. I love it.
So that's how she takes everything. So
yeah, Laura, so you just went along. Kim said it was a good idea, and so you said, okay, I'll do that.
Sadly, she does that, and it gets us into a lot of trouble.
It's your fault, Laura.
Yes, yes. Now, let me point out that Kim said these are the only two podcasts I watch.
Oh.
And for me, a podcast is something you listen to.
Yeah.
So that was quite a communication barrier between the two of us for quite some time, because she kept saying, well, we need to record it. We need video equipment. We need and I'm like, it's a podcast. It's audio. So that's why we offer the video version too, to appease her, because for me, it's just an audio thing, but she watches them. I listen.
Well, it's probably a good idea to keep Kim happy.
It is. But Kim has learned over the years that she can't just say, I think we need to try, because we're going to do it that day. We're going to get it done.
I like that spirit.
So how long are you still school counselor? Talk to the audience about how long you have been in that role. Are you still in that role, or have you moved to something different?
I was school counselor, and then I went back to the State Department, our Indiana Department of Education, because I really wanted to move to a smaller school. The school I was at was about 3,500 students.
Oh.
And it was like a little city. Some colleges aren't that big.
Right.
And I'm kind of an introvert in a way, so I wanted to go to a smaller school. Anyway, I ended up back at the Department of Education. And so I moved up there to Director of Career and Technical Education, so CTE. And that's what I worked with Alabama, the whole state, with last year, was CTE. And so for a while, I was sort of removed from counseling directly. We did workshops for counselors. But now that we've started Inspire Success, we're back to really focusing on school counselors and really trying to provide resources for counselors to help them not only help. Our motto is really we help those who help students succeed. So any of the resources that are needed or any kind of supports that are needed by school counselors.
Well, you mentioned
it's a nonprofit. Laura, I believe I started first. So it's a nonprofit. is it, this whole organization, it has a board, and what is the goal? What exactly can school counselors get from this product or this idea?
Service. Yeah, sure. And that's a good question, because we're still figuring that out. But in January 2021, we're starting an online process to help schools if they want to go after ASCA RAMP, the recognized ASCA model programs. So we have three levels. There's a free level that I'm doing. We call it Base Camp. And then there's one that's a model where you can learn just this ASCA national model. We call that Ascent. And then there's a third level called Summit, where you can not only learn about the national model, but also we spend a year with you helping you get ready to submit your RAMP application. Because I don't know if you've really looked through ASCA, the national model, and RAMP, and I support it. But the books, and I've got them right over here, they're a little complicated. It's sort of like all the parts are there, but what we do is we put the process together kind of step by step, kind of hold your hand through it. We check the work if you're doing something to make sure it's aligned with what's needed. And we think it's a lot easier to do RAMP that way. So that's our big thing for school counselors. The other thing we have is a website called Counselor One Stop, counselor1stop.org or .com, either way. And it's just got a bunch A to Z resources. So you can look, you know, if you need alcohol, you can look up A, and you can find resources for school counselors under counselor1stop.org. So
we need to link that. I think these are great.
Kim, I've got it under control. Okay, can you please quit barking orders?
Okay, Laura, I believe earlier I stepped on your toes. So I'm going to ask that now you take the talking stick.
I will take it. And just know that I intentionally did not interrupt you. My internet is unstable, and so am I. So I got the message that popped up that said my internet is unstable.
And so am I.
Well, I've had a lot of questions about Inspire Success, and I love that you went into the RAMP portion of it, and you talked about Counselor One Stop, because Kim and I discovered that one day when we were checking it out, and we were amazed at all of the resources that you have there for school counselors. It truly is the one stop for counselors.
Good.
So that is wonderful. And I wanted to ask about your opinion of the comprehensive counseling models. You touched on that a little bit. Tell us about the Lilly Endowment Comprehensive Counseling Initiative.
Oh, good. So we have Lilly Endowment is one of the ones that tried to put together a COVID medication for the pandemic, but they're a big pharmaceutical company. They're based out of Indiana. And so they have an endowment that gives out millions of dollars every year to lots of great causes. And about 3 years ago, the endowment, I think they ended up giving about $45 million to an initiative called the Comprehensive Counseling Initiative, just to school counseling programs around the state of Indiana. So 96 school corporations received, some of them up over a couple million dollars for a four-year period to do just about anything they wanted. And they had four goals. One was to implement a comprehensive counseling model. And then the other three related to anything they wanted to do with the three domains, which was improve academic success, improve college and career readiness of students, or increase or improve the social emotional well-being of students, you know, kind of those three domains of ASCA. So school has been doing all kinds of great things, and the money is going to run out next year. Some of them are getting extensions because of COVID and delays, but we're excited. We've been able to kind of be the facilitators to help out schools as they're putting these programs together, answering questions, and they have to do an annual report. So we hope to put together a summative evaluation over the next year, year and a half, that is useful by other schools around the country to see if there's some good ideas or some good results that we found that might be applicable or scalable in other school counseling programs. So it's a great program.
Wow. That sounds like a huge, huge undertaking.
It is. And it's a little overwhelming and scary. You know, the hard thing was that every year they ask schools and school counselors to report on what they've done. And so we had to kind of put together like a data format. And we asked schools to say, you know, you said you're going to do these five things. Now tell us how you're going to measure that. Where did you start? Where are you now? And where do you want to be? You know, kind of your baseline and your current and your target. And I don't know about you, but I didn't do real well in the data realm when I was getting my master's in school counseling. And we found out a lot of other counselors have struggled a little bit with the data portion too. So that's been the hardest part, but I think most who have gone through it have said, it's actually helped us out to think a little about what we're doing in a kind of a measurable way. How do we measurably impact student success?
There's our other hot button, Kim.
That's our other hot button. We are data, we, you know, we say that's your driving force, and yeah. You know, that is, it's not about what you want to do, but what the kids needs. How do you know that without data? So that's one of our pillars, if you will.
Yeah. What can I ask what you do with it? Do you share it with your administrators, or how do you collect it? Just various ways?
We need to come to one of our sessions. We're going to sign you up for one of our
sessions. Okay, yeah. I need sessions.
No, we have spoken about data at ASCA, and we're going to be doing a webinar in January for ASCA about data. And then this next year, we're going to take it a little bit deeper when we speak at ASCA. But we talk about how we collect it, and we look at various sources. Everything we do is data. And then we use it, like Kim said, to know what we're going to talk to the students about. Know
about the program.
Yeah.
To really, you know, to empower. So if school counselors realize what data can do for them and how empowering that data can be for the program.
Yeah.
And so we really, I think we have been surprised as we do trainings or whatever at counselors who have been counselors for years and years and years, but have really never used data or knew what to do with it.
Yeah.
And how powerful data can be. So
we use it to advocate for our program too. And Kim actually has a huge story about how she used data.
Really?
Yes, Kim?
Yeah, I was at a K-12, which I loved both schools, but I was I had over like 1,000 students.
Oh, wow.
And I was through data and just, I was able to show where that was too many and you know, where I was spread too thin and I really wasn't doing anybody any good. And so through that, I was able to choose either high school or, you know, I could choose one school or the other. So anyway.
Wow, that really worked.
Yeah. Yeah, and it does, and we tell it will. It will, and it's who your audience is what data to use, too, because a school board cares about money. That's what they care about.
Yeah.
And your principal cares about my goal. How are you going to help me meet that?
Yeah.
And your parents care about, is my child being bullied, and what are you, you know, so it's just according to who and what data, too, that you're sharing.
It's funny, because I'm not a big fan. At least a year ago, I wasn't a big fan of a comprehensive counseling model. I thought it was a good idea. It's sort of to me like, theory and as opposed to practice. Yeah. You know, it's a good thing in concept, but day to day, you have so much to do as a counselor. And
You
know, you're being pulled thousands of ways. Why do I have time to do a comprehensive counseling model? But we I've kind of thought of it differently. Now, it's exactly what you say is if the model, it should help you collect data so you can convince your administrator that what you do is valuable and that it impacts students. And with that, then hopefully you get more time, because counselors tell us all the time they need more time, either more counselors so they can have more time or just more time from non-counseling tasks. And with more time, then you get to work in more impactful ways with either more students or deeper with the students you're already working with. So we keep thinking that. So the data impacts your administrator, the administrator impacts your schedule to get more time, and more time with students impacts your impact, your overall impact on your student success. Yeah. And so now I see the links, and that's what we're focused on this, what we call Ramp Ready, that process to help schools get their comprehensive counseling models. But you're exactly right. It has to lead to that.
We try to tell counselors not to be the best kept secret in their school.
Yeah.
Sometimes as helpers, we have a hard time. We feel like we're bragging on ourselves, but you're not. You're advocating and you're telling what you're doing and the why behind the what. And when you do that, there's power behind that when other people realize what you're doing. And just like you said, it can get you more time or more resources. And so,
yeah. But if you just take that model, like you're saying, when you look at it in print, I think that we need to help each other, and Laura and I call it rubber meets the road. Here is some practical, this is, like you're saying, theory, and it's good. I mean, that gives us a guide, but then when you're in the real world every day and you're doing it, you need that practical, this is how we're going to get to this point. Here's some ideas. So, So it sounds like you do a lot of that, of encouraging counselors in just a very practical, real way. Just what we've listened to some of the stories from your podcast, and those are just real people every day.
Well, and I don't know, and I, both of you probably have worked with high school counselors, and I'm not going to rag on any kind of counselor, but I think high school counselors typically, and I include myself in that, tend to be a little bit more cynical sometimes. It's sort of like, yeah, that's a good idea when I have time, but I don't have time, so I'm going to do this right now.
And I've been a high school counselor, and I get that. I mean, it is a different animal. I mean, it can be, and you're right. It's different. It is, but you're getting those kids out the door, and do they have X, Y, and Z before they're out? Did I prepare them for this last, the last game, the last play of the game,
So. Yeah, you feel like the clock is ticking. And it's sort of like, I got to get to all these kids by this certain time.
It is. It's that sense of urgency that you don't have necessarily in the younger grades. But boy, when it gets down to those last couple of years as a high school counselor, you feel that pressure, and it's a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. What do you hear a lot from counselors? Has it changed what you're hearing from counselors this spring and fall? I mean, COVID makes everybody crazy.
Yeah, we had a class that we did, and we met with that class every week to kind of go over the lessons that we had put out for that week. And it ended up that every week we would meet, and it would not be about the lesson, because COVID, we were in the battle, if you will. We had, the racial riots. We had fires. We had hurricanes. We had, and these were counselors from all over the United States. So there were many weeks that we would just cry. I would just start crying because they would just share. Like, they would just start sharing. Literally, one lady got on one week, and she showed us behind her. This was a school counselor, and behind her, we could see complete orange. She was ready to evacuate. She said, I had to come on to talk to you guys. I need this lift. But her family had moved in with her. They had evacuated. What state was she in, Laura?
She was in Oregon.
So she was getting ready at any moment to evacuate.
Because of
the fires. And we have met with counselors who have moved because they were in a big city, and because of riots and because of COVID, that was my husband who knocked down the door. They had to, they were relocated. We met with more than one counselor that were just relocating for whatever reason. And then one counselor had been through two hurricanes. So, no, it has not been normal at all, Matt, at all. I mean, when you really look across the United States at what we feel like, oh, my goodness, it's been such a hard year. But then when you added those elements, it has been really, we really have felt for all educators this year. I mean, we really have felt and want to help in any way. So I think that's what you're doing. I think this Inspire Success is a wonderful idea.
Well, thank you. And you're doing it too. So thanks for what you're doing with your podcast.
Thank you so much.
Well, I do want to ask you, you're big on stories. Do you have a favorite story?
Gosh, Well, I was trying to think of something with school counseling, and I couldn't come up with anything great except, well, I'll share two stories. One's about school counseling, and one is about my day when I was as a TV announcer, itinerant TV announcer. And I was on the air one morning because we had to do morning TV show. And they had switched it over to me, and the camera's on me, and I'm talking away. And I can see out of the corner of my eye the director, who's way over in a little booth. He comes out. He was a real kind of just stodgy guy. He just didn't say much, you know. I see him walk around behind the camera. He walks over to the side of me. I'm talking. I'm reading my script. And he reaches. I had forgotten to put my microphone on. So he reaches the microphone. I'm still talking. He puts his hand under my shirt and comes up and clips the microphone on. I am a ticklish person to begin with. I had to keep it together so much to not laugh.
That is so funny.
It was. Oh, yeah, here's this hand appearing. Clip! And then I'm like, oh! Well, that was a very memorable
moment. I just almost see the Muppets.
Yes. Yes, exactly right. Oh, of course he didn't say anything either. Oof, man, still get those
TVs. That is so funny.
That's so funny. Okay, what's the other story? And then I have to tell y'all one.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me.
This really isn't much of a story, except that, you know, I don't know if you've had this experience, but it was, I don't know, months after the start of the school year, here comes a new student coming in. You can tell, this is really bad, I guess, but you can kind of tell why the student is moving in now, just because it just feels like, oh, he's the kind of guy that probably got in trouble at his other school. Just a hunch. And then you go through the paper and you go, oh, yeah, that's accurate, actually. And he's one of these guys who was very expressive. You know, he knew everything, and he had this kind of slick cadence and, you know, oh, things are going to be fine here and everything's straightened out. We get him scheduled. We put him in a class. It's not a week or two later before I'm called down to talk to him because he organized kind of a semi-riot in the lunchroom. He was up on a table, and he was getting these people rallied up, and he was the one leading them, you know, like, you got to do this. You know, we got to fight. And I brought him in, and I was like, I don't even know how to talk to this guy at all. And finally, what I lit on was, I said to him, you know, after we went through the, you can't do this, and you're going to be kicked out if you do that, and all of that stuff, I said, I just want to tell you, a lot of people think that's bad, but you've got persuasion skills. And I can tell because I don't have those. I could get up on a table in the lunchroom, and I don't think anybody would even look up. But you got them rallied around you. And I said, no, I don't know where you're going to go in your future. And you can go lots of different directions. But that's a power. And you could be a great politician, you know, for good or for evil. You could be a great salesperson. You could be in a leadership position. But my point to him was to try to think in a different way of those. I think they were actually skills that he had. But I had to. It really took me a little bit to change him from bad behavior to good skills that he could have. Now, he was kicked out of school, suspended a couple weeks after that. But I thought, well, maybe, I know I've never heard from him since, but I thought, well, maybe that just stuck in his mind that he had those skills. I hope so.
I love that.
That Laura, that you have to tell your story. Laura has that same mentality. We talk about that. The little girl who brought she said she was going to bring a gun to school.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I love, it reminded me, tell that story, Laura.
Well, help me with the details or embellish or whatever to make it as good as Matt's. But there was a little girl that I had last year or year before last, and everybody was all a flutter because she had written a report, and in that she had put that she wanted to she wanted to be an assassin. That was it. She wanted to be an assassin.
Interesting.
So they had brought the report to me and they were all upset. And I was like, and it was going to be one of these, we need to send her home type, you know, at risk, like emergency. And I was like, can we go with my gut on this one? Can I talk to her? And can I have a minute?
Yeah.
And so my principal allowed me to talk with her and kind of take it a different direction. And we talked about how, you know what, you could be in the Army. And I connected her with an Army Ranger to, we did a Zoom call with an Army Ranger. And this was before everybody was using Zoom. So I'd like to think that I was on the cutting edge of that. But anyway, it was one of those things, just realizing that maybe what you see on the surface is not what's there. You've got to go a little bit deeper and use that, you know, turn it into something else. And so,
which I think both of you did in those circumstances. I mean, I think that's such a great lesson for counselors is, you know, don't throw the baby out in the bathwater. Look to see if there's a redeeming something that maybe there are those qualities are there, because obviously both of those kids had, they just needed to do it for good instead of evil.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Now can I tell my funny story?
Yes, sure. Please.
yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So we have been hit with COVID really hard in our hallway. And so I told them, I said, listen, and we've gotten the word that we're all going to go home and stay home for a while now. So I said, I am going to my room and preparing because I'm not coming back. So I'm going to go to my room and I'm locking the door. I don't care what's going on. You leave me alone. I tell my principal, everybody, you know, whatever. So anyway, they felt sorry for me. And my principal went and got me a lunch and he put it outside my door.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So I get the lunch. I take it to the microwave and it's plastic. There's plastic. I'm an idiot. I know that. I set the microwave on fire. I have got a dumpster fire going. Bells start going. The principal's beating on the door. I have everybody locked out. The whole school is smoked up, but they were completely entertained, let me just say.
Oh, I imagine.
Because it just went along with my day. And I was also in my big, I have this huge van that I drive, and I wanted to back up to the school I had some stuff for kids, gifts and stuff for kids. So I back up into the bushes. I didn't tell you about that, Laura.
No.
I took out the bushes, so I just stayed. Kept the big van parked in the bushes all day, and that was hilarious. It was just a day. It was just a day. I
hate those days. It reminds me of one of our Encouraging Words podcasts. One of the teachers or counselors said, I asked her, has anything happened with COVID? She goes, not really that much. Kids have been real resilient. She said, but I did have a kindergartner who came out of the bathroom and wasn't wearing his mask. I said, why aren't you wearing your mask? And he said, whatever her name was, Miss Smith, she said, it fell off and I peed on it and I didn't want to and I'm not going to put it back on. And she said, I'm glad you didn't put it back on. A good lesson for you.
That reminds me, last week, one of the teachers here was telling her student, you've got to wear your mask. Where's your mask? And she said, well, can I get another one? So the teacher goes to get another one. The little girl comes back into the room with a mask on. She said, I thought you didn't have your mask. Where is it? She said, I forgot. It fell behind the toilet in the bathroom. But I've got it now. And she had it on.
I saved it.
Yeah. Her teacher was like, no, take another one.
Please take another.
It's like COVID, bathroom germs. I don't know.
Which one?
I don't know either.
Right.
Some of them haven't watched those things since they got them. I mean, they're just.
I know.
But anyway, Matt, I hope you continue the good work that you're doing, and we appreciate you so much. And we're so glad to get to know you. I mean,
yes.
I just love you already, and we've
Same
only
here.
Met twice. I mean, well, I just like I could talk to you forever. I think not with you, Laura.
Right.
I just thought Matt had a lot in common.
Well, especially if you want to talk about big bands or anything historic or classic, well, I'd be happy. Yeah.
Oh, I could talk all day.
And I want to congratulate both of you. We're going to promote your podcast as well on ours. So congratulations on your good work. It's not like you have enough to do already. So thanks for doing that.
Thank you. This is refreshing for us. We love doing this. So.
Yeah, me too. It helps.
All right. We're going to link to your website, your podcast, your email, everything in our show notes. So check that out. And we just can't thank you enough for being on with us.
Thank you both for having me. It's been a pleasure. Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Yeah.